I am Pastor Walker's twin brother, if you're wondering. I know I confused some people this morning. I was sat there during rehearsal, and I guess I'm like, I thought Pastor Walker was in Johannesburg. But really, I'm right here. No, I'm just kidding. But man, it's such an honor to be here. Before I forget, I must send some greetings, first of all, from my wife, from Nicole. We've been married for 33 years now, and so she sends her love. But as Pastor Moffitt had said, we have three grandchildren. Of course, Nicole and I got married when we were, I think, 7 or 8. I can't remember. But we have three. I'm a papa. And actually, the third one, two granddaughters. And now, as of 4 weeks ago, a grandson by the name of Levi Joseph. So I'm looking forward to meeting him, but it'll be another couple months. But my wife is actually with my daughter and with my newest grandson. So that's where she is. And then also, I was also instructed to greet you from Tracy Newberry. She sends her love and her greetings as well. And third is my pastor. Pastor Hagen also wanted me to greet you. So praise the Lord. And actually, my first time at Miracle Life was back in 2003. I don't know if anyone was here in 2003. But I was actually a guest of Pastor Newberry's at the time. And anyways, it's good to be here in Zambia. It's an honor to be here. But let's begin with a word of prayer. You know, God has what you need this morning, especially if you look to Him and don't look to me. I always say, if you look to me, you will be disappointed. But if you look to the Lord has exactly what you need. So let's look to Him. So, Father, we come to You in the name of Jesus. We thank You so much for Your goodness towards us, for Your loving kindness towards us. We thank You for Your great plan for Miracle Life and Your great plan for Zambia and Your great plan for each individual here. And so, Father, we just commit our time to You. We ask that You'd give all of us eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to receive, and we acknowledge that You're the source of everything, and we give You all the honor and the glory in advance. In the name of Jesus, amen. So let's begin in Romans chapter 14, and we're going to be reading from verse 17. So Romans chapter 14, verse 17, it says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." And so this morning, I want to talk about living in the kingdom of God. Jesus gave us access to the kingdom, and Jesus gave man access to the presence of God. It's interesting throughout the Word of God that that is exactly what was proclaimed. It was John the Baptist's message. He preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And then Jesus came proclaiming the same message. And that was, the kingdom of God is near. Even in the Lord's Prayer, part of the Lord's Prayer is, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then after the death, the burial, and the resurrection, the apostles continue to preach the same message, the message of the kingdom. Jesus said in Matthew 3:2, he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Mark 1:14-15, after John was in prison, it says, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. And then he said, repent and believe in the gospel. Of course, the word repent means to turn. And so, what is this kingdom message? In Luke 4:43, but he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. And so the central message was the gospel of the kingdom, or you could say the good news of the kingdom. You see, there are two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of light, or the kingdom of life, and the kingdom of darkness. And you see, Jesus spoke of this when in 1 John 3:8, he said, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Or you could say, destroy the works of the kingdom of darkness. And let's look at Colossians 1. I'm going somewhere with this. Colossians 1, verse 13. And we're going to be looking at verse 13 and 14. So this is talking about Jesus again. Paul had a revelation of what happened in the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And so Paul, by revelation, he speaks this, and he says, Jesus has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And so what Jesus delivered us from was the power of darkness. And really, this word power, really it means jurisdiction. Now, it was never a matter of God's power versus darkness power, because God's power has always super abundantly above all power. I said his power has always been way above all thrones, all dominions, all names. He is majesty. He is far above all. So it's never been a matter of power. It's been a matter of access. And whatever God does, he does legally. Whatever God does, he is righteous. His throne, he rules with justice. And so that's why everything he does according to his will, according to his words. And so, even in Luke, there's a picture of a finger in a demon. Sound booth? Yep, there it is. In Luke 11:20, Jesus said, but if I cast out demons with the finger of God. Have you ever been at a table and all of a sudden a bug landed on the table? And then what do you do? You don't want to smash it because you don't want it to get all over the table. So you just take your finger and you go, boop. Right? I mean, that's how you deal with a bug. This is how God deals with Satan. I said, see, it's not an issue of power. It was an issue of control. It was an issue of jurisdiction that Satan tricked Adam into sinning. And when he sinned, Adam became subject to the jurisdiction of the kingdom of darkness. And when he came into a brand new position, a position of the curse, a position of death. You know, God said that if you eat the fruit, dying you shall die. And of course, Adam took on a new nature. He lost the nature of God. He took on the sin nature. And that affected not just him, but it affected all of mankind. It affected our spirit, our soul, and our body. And so man was put into a dying state. Do you know that man was never meant to die? Man was created a spiritual being meant to live eternally. But as soon as sin came in, because of who Adam was, it affected the whole human race. And all of mankind became subject to the power of darkness because of sin. So see, the problem was sin. Because Adam was the master copy, and through his seed, this sin nature was spread to all of us. And so, therefore, we needed a Savior. I said, therefore, we needed a Messiah. We needed the Christ. Someone who would be worthy. Someone that was acceptable. Someone that was a man, but without sin. But the problem was that there wasn't one man. For all had sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so God sent his only son, born of a woman, but born of the Spirit. And since he was born of the Spirit, he was born of God. His spirit was alive to God. He had the very nature of God. And he lived as a man on this earth, fulfilled all the law and the prophets without sin, just so that he could go to the cross, just so that he could become our substitute, just so that he could become our sin, just so that he could justify us, so he could shed his blood for us, so that we could become acceptable. And so that he could break the power of jurisdiction. And so that he could break the power of darkness and loose us from Satan's grip and translate us out of the control of the enemy into God's kingdom. And so what was this message, this good news, the good news of the kingdom of God? Well, the good news is that Jesus brought the kingdom to us, and through Jesus, that we could be set free from the dominion of the kingdom of darkness and be brought into God's kingdom. And that we could be brought into a brand new kingdom. That's good news. And so, really, this jurisdiction of darkness through Jesus We are transferred into the kingdom of God. We're redeemed by His blood. We're forgiven. We're set free. So what was this message? Well, the message was, in Luke chapter 4, Jesus came after He was baptized at the River Jordan. The Spirit of God came upon Him without measure. And He was led by the Spirit, tempted in the wilderness. But then after the temptation, He went out in power. And He came to His hometown and He read from Isaiah 61. It's recorded in Luke 4. And He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He has anointed me." And to preach the gospel, the good news to the poor, to set at liberty those that are bound. And so he basically proclaimed that you no longer have to live under bondage, the bondage of the kingdom of darkness. You no longer have to live under oppression. You no longer have to be depressed. You no longer have to have sickness. You no longer have to deal with disease. When it comes, you have authority over it. You can be set free from it. You no longer have to live under shame. You no longer have to live under the curse. You no longer have to live under poverty, than the control of having not enough. You no longer have to live under addiction. And you no longer have to be brokenhearted. Because Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. See, He gave us access through His death, His burial, and His resurrection to the kingdom of God. And so, righteousness dealt with the main problem. Because righteousness dealt with the sin problem. And because of sin, we were underneath the authority and the control of darkness. But through His blood, through His death, through His burial, and through His resurrection, He was justified. But you know, He did not need to be justified. The reason why He was buried, He went to the cross for us. He was buried for us. And He was raised up for us. You see, He was already exalted on high. But He humbled Himself, became a man, just so that we could be justified, just so that His death would be our death. You see, because we needed a change of nature. And so when Jesus became sin, He became my sin. He became your sin, so that we could die with Him. You see, we had to lose our old nature first. We had to identify with Christ, put our faith in the work of Christ, and die with Him, die together with Him, so that we could be buried with Him. You see, we were born with this nature, and we needed a new nature. And in order to lose the old nature, we had to die to it. I said we had to die to it. And when Christ died, I died. Hallelujah. And when He was buried, I was buried. The old man was left in the grave. And then on the third day, when God legally justified the Lord Jesus Christ and declared Him not guilty, hallelujah, and then He was able to send His power. See, it was never a matter of power. God's power was always greater. I said, God's power is always greater than the enemy's. And so justified Him. and raised him up on the third day. And he was the first one born into the kingdom. You see, you can't earn your way into the kingdom. The only way you can have access to the kingdom of God is through the birth. I said it's through birth. Hallelujah. And you're born with a brand new nature. And so when he was justified, I was justified. And when he was declared righteous, I was declared righteous. And when he was justified, if you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you were justified. What does that mean, justified? It means that God, the righteous judge, was able to say that the price has been paid in full. And he pounded the gavel and he said, not guilty. I said, he said, not guilty. Let me just talk about that for a moment so you have a clear understanding of justification. You see, I can't talk about you. I can only talk about me. So I'll talk about me for a little bit. You see, the accuser of the brethren brings accusations before the throne to the righteous judge. And he brings accusations based on facts, actually, even though he's the liar, even though he's the father of lie. He's the father of lies, is he not? He is. But when he approaches the Father, he brings facts. And there's many facts that he's brought before the Father, accusing me of things that I've actually done, that my sins that I had committed. And he brings them before the Father. But thank God I've got a really good defense attorney, Jesus Christ, my advocate. And so he brings, the accuser of the brethren brings all this evidence. And the thing is it required trucks to bring in all the documents against me. I mean, just trucks. And the Father said, oh, stop, that's enough. But anyways, and then Jesus, I'm sitting on the side of the defense. I'm feeling guilty. I'm looking guilty because it's all factual. But then Jesus gets up and he presents one thing of evidence before the Father. And he says, Father, I present to you my blood. I paid the price for Joe. I bled for him. I took his sins. And the Father looks at the evidence. He said, none of those facts matter. I find Joe justified. I find him not guilty. And you see, the accuser of the brethren has done the same thing to all of us. And I don't know if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have an advocate before the Father, and he's presented his blood for you, and God has legally been able to declare you not guilty. And you see, his blood has given us access where we were justified with him and we were raised up together with him, and now we're seated with him, and now we are in the kingdom of God. And Satan no longer has jurisdiction over you. I said the kingdom of darkness no longer has jurisdiction over you. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it's righteousness, it's peace, it's joy in the Holy Ghost. And you see, our condition isn't built on performance, but it's built on the blood of Jesus. And so we can have faith in the blood. It says in Hebrews 9. It says, not with this is 11 and 12. It says, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once and for all. In Hebrews 10:19, it says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. In Hebrews 9:14, it says, how much more shall the blood of Christ cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? See, the blood cleanses us. The blood, see, the blood speaks better than Abel. I said the blood of Jesus speaks better than Abel. The blood is in the heavenly tabernacle, and it's speaking on your behalf. It's saying you are justified. The blood is saying you are cleansed. The blood is saying you are sanctified. The blood is saying you are worthy to be in the kingdom. The blood is saying you belong in the family of God. I said the blood is speaking on your behalf. In Hebrews 12:24, it says, to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than at that of Abel. In Romans 5:17, it says, those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. See, you have been translated out of darkness. You no longer have to give in to the kingdom of darkness. See, you have the right to function and operate as a child of God, as a joint heir with Christ. You've been given authority so that when darkness comes, when sickness comes, when depression comes, when oppression comes, when brokenheartedness comes, you have the right to say, no, you don't. You see, it all is sourced back to sin. I said it's all sourced back to sin, and the blood of Jesus took care of sin, and the blood of Jesus redeemed us and set us free. Now, the Bible does promise that in this life you will have tribulation. But Jesus said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And before that, he said, my peace I leave to you, my peace I give you. You see, we've been justified by his blood. Of course, Revelation 12:11 says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Many of you are dealing with things, but you need to open up your mouth. I said you need to open up your mouth and talk about the blood of Jesus. You need to open up your mouth and give testimony that you're no longer under the jurisdiction of darkness, and you tell Satan to take his stuff and leave. I said, you need to open up your mouth and deal with the cares of life. I said, and deal with the trials that come from the kingdom of darkness and say, no, enough is enough. I said, enough is enough. I'm no longer underneath the rulership of you. I'm now underneath the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And now I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. And you give testimony where you apply the blood to the doorposts of your life with your tongue. I said, you apply the blood of Jesus to the doorposts of your life. And you say, no, you don't, Satan. You take your stuff and leave. So let's talk about peace, righteousness, peace, and joy. Really, peace is God's covenant wholeness of the kingdom. See, through the blood, we have peace with God, and then we have the peace of God. And you see this peace. Hallelujah. Isaiah 32, 17, it says, the work of righteousness will be peace. Shalom in the Hebrew, it means nothing missing and nothing broken. You see, underneath God's care, He makes all things brand new. And Jesus said, my peace I give to you in John 14, 27. So, in Romans that I just mentioned, Romans 14, 17, Paul is not talking about emotional calm here when he talks about the kingdom of God being righteousness, peace, and joy. He's actually referring to wholeness. It's a manifestation. See, covenant peace is a manifestation of God's covenant wholeness. It's a restoration of everything that sin and the curse, as a result of sin and the curse. See, when sin allowed the curse in, and sin allowed the destroyer in, and God was restricted because Satan had a legal right. But Jesus changed that. I said, Jesus can't change that. And He gave us peace as the Prince of Peace. He brought restoration and He brought wholeness. See, actually, this root word for peace is to join together in a whole. It literally means the state of everything being set back into place. And so when sin came through Adam, all creation fractured spirit, soul, body, and dominion. But through Christ, peace restores that which is broken. Rejoicing. Ah, hallelujah. You see, in heaven, there is no sickness. In heaven, there is no disease. In heaven, there is no lack. We're talking about the kingdom of God. I said, in heaven, there is no brokenheartedness. Every tear wiped away. I said, and see, we've been transferred into this kingdom, and it is now available. We don't have to wait till we get there to access His provision, to access His healing, to access His peace, His wholeness, shalom, restoration. Restoration from the curse. Hallelujah. I'm just looking that my time's already gone almost. So I'm going to skip through this. Because here's the thing. We're going to take care of some things this morning. Because the thing is there's some things in your life that you say, well, that sounds like good news, and I don't know if it's true. Well, it is true. God loves you. Jesus paid the price for you. And whether you're dealing with sickness, whether you're dealing with a disease, or maybe you're dealing with finances, some financial pressures, Jesus is the source of all. He's the answer. He's our all in all. I said He's our all in all. He's our Redeemer. And He knows exactly how to meet your need this morning. I said He is the answer. I said He is the answer. And you see, even though maybe darkness has affected your life, I'm here to remind you and I'm here to encourage you that you don't have to tolerate it. I said you don't have to tolerate it. You see, God has made you to be a king and a priest in His kingdom. And you see, the kingdom of God is the king and His dominion. And you see, we're underneath a brand new dominion. And you see, this is the kingdom of the Son of His love now that you're submitted to. And you see, you can say no to darkness. You can take authority over sickness. You can take authority over disease. You can take authority over poverty. You can take care of family problems. I said even brokenheartedness. And God will touch you this morning. I said, I know that the power of God is here this morning. And I know that God's going to move as you look to Him and His kingdom and His righteousness. And you see, it begins with understanding that sin has no authority over you. And now some of you said, well, you don't understand. On the way to church, I had an argument with my spouse. And I got out of love. Well, it just takes a moment just to what does it say in 1 John 1:9? It says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, the power of sin has been broken through the blood of Jesus. And we put faith in His blood, and that makes us acceptable. It makes us cleansed. It makes us not only justified, but the blood sanctifies us. And the blood gives us access to the throne. And the blood gives us access to all the promises of God, which are always yes and amen. Hallelujah. And so, hallelujah. And so, joy, I'm only going to talk about this for 2 minutes. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Because joy really is the celebration of our salvation. Righteousness allows us in the kingdom. And righteousness gives us access to peace, wholeness, everything new, nothing missing, nothing broken, complete restoration. But then there's also great joy in the kingdom. You see, Isaiah, it says, 12:3, it says, therefore with joy you will draw from the wells of salvation. See, joy is the doorway to salvation's benefits. I said joy is the doorway to salvation's benefits. See, joy is a demonstration of your expectation. See, joy is a demonstration of the triumph of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You see, with joy, I will draw from the wells of salvation. Of course, in Romans 1:16, Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. And then in verse 17, it says, for in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just, or the justified, or the declared righteous because of the blood of Jesus, shall live by faith. And so, salvation, this word means to save, it means to deliver, it means to heal, It means to preserve. It means to protect. It means to make whole. And so when we rejoice, we're lowering the bucket into the well. I said, when you rejoice, you're taking your bucket, and it's the bucket is joy. And that's how you access salvation. I said, that's how you access, that's how you get in the glory. And in His glory is all you need. I said, that's one way. It's an act of faith. Where even in James it says, count it all joy. When things aren't going well. Count it all joy. When you don't feel anything. Count it all joy when you have cancer. Count it all joy when sickness comes. Why? Why are you counting it all joy? Because sickness can't stay. I said sickness can't stay in your body. Why? Because you're the redeemed of the Lord and you say so. I said you say so. I said you open up your mouth and you speak to your body and you say you can't stay any longer. I've been set free. I've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. He paid the price for my sin. Now you have no jurisdiction. Now, then you take your finger and you go, boop, and you tell it to leave your body. I said, you just, boop, tell it to leave your body. I said, when poverty, maybe you're having some problems with your business. I said, maybe you're in a dire position in your business, and you're just saying, I don't know what to do, and you can't sleep. You're losing money. And you're looking around, and you're like, the power's still an issue. This is an issue. The economy's doing this. No, God is my source. God is my salvation. He has redeemed me from poverty. He has redeemed me from the curse. I am now under the blessing. I'm under the kingdom of God. I belong in the kingdom. The blood of Jesus has been spilled for me. He took care of my sin and He brought me into His kingdom. I'm born into a new kingdom. I'm walking in righteousness. I'm walking in peace and I'm walking in joy today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand up and we're going to deal with some things this morning. I said we're going to do a little bit of rejoicing. I said it doesn't take long. I said it doesn't take long for God to move. I said it doesn't take long for the Spirit of God to move on your behalf. You see, God's been on standby. He's just been waiting. I said, He's just been waiting. Oh, to watch over His word concerning your situation. Oh, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hallelujah. I said, let the redeemed of the Lord. Do we have any redeemed ones in here? Do we have any righteous ones in here? The blood of Jesus says you are worthy. The blood of Jesus says you have been justified. The blood of Jesus says you are cleansed. The blood of Jesus says that sickness can't stay in your body. The stripes were cut on His back. The blood of Jesus says that He became poor. Oh, He took on the curse so that you wouldn't have to live under the curse any longer.